670thescore.com. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago.
Update. From the Score Update Studio, I'm Nick Szepkowski. Cubs and Pirates, feels like it's been a foregone conclusion for about a month that they'll play in the one-game wild card. Well, that's finally just now one day away. Cubs manager Joe Maddon joined the Score's midday show with Matt Spiegel and Jason Goff earlier today. And despite not giving away his starting lineup, he offered instead what went into coming up with the choices he made.
I look at that a lot, primarily from our defensive perspective also. I mean, this field plays, it's asymmetrical, it has some quirks to it, so you have to be able to cover the quirks as much as you can defensively. And then with Jake pitching, if Jake just goes out there and throws his typical game, it's not a whole lot of contact hard all over the place. So there's, you can consider that also while you're setting up your defense.
7:08 first pitch tomorrow night at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Yankees and Astros in the American League one-game wild card tonight in the Bronx. Masahiro Tanaka takes on Dallas Keuchel in the pitching matchup there. Bears are off today. They return to Halas Hall tomorrow as they prepare for the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. Chicago Bulls, they open their preseason schedule tonight as they host the Milwaukee Bucks at United Center. And elsewhere in the NBA, James Harden earlier today said that he's upset he didn't win the MVP award last year instead of Stephen Curry. The scoreboard update brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin's October sales event going on now. And be there when the Chicago Wolves open the season at home Saturday, October 10th at the Allstate Arena against the Milwaukee Admirals, part of the Amtrak rivalry. For more information about the great hockey in a family and friendly environment, visit Chicago Wolves, hungry for more. I'm Nick Szepkowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Bears fans, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by Del Frisco Steakhouse. Eat where the
double fist pump.
Lynn Casper.
Go! Cubs win!
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Baez to Rizzo. Jake Arrieta, a 20-game winner.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Go home! Schroeder's done it again!
Bryant with two outs. High fly ball out in the deep right. That ball is gone! Cubs win!
Casper.
I got to bring out the Tom Brokaw again. Matt Belisle to Sammy Tuimalawa.
Lynn Casper with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
At 202 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. A little baseball talk coming your way.
Lynn Casper's on Twitter, at Lynn Casper. He is on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. So you are going to be one of the little radio helpers, aren't you?
Yeah, it's been fun this year. Pat and Ron and Mark have invited me in when we've not had our local TV broadcast. I did a few Fox games, but radio is back to my roots, and I'll be doing a couple of pregame segments. I'm going over to interview Neil Huntington today, the Pirates GM for the BBM pregame show. I'll do the fifth inning play-by-play, and then if the Cubs win, you'll hear my voice from the dugout, hopefully interviewing a successful Jake Arrieta after another complete game.
Ask Huntington about his line that's been oft quoted, that he said his single biggest regret is was voting for this particular playoff format, seeing what it has done to his team in the past 3 years.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to ask him about just the concept of it. The Pirates have been in this game now 3 straight years, and I think were scratching and clawing and doing everything they could to not play this game. But how about 98 wins and it's a one and done? And if you're the Cubs, 97 wins and a one and done. Let me ask you guys this. Do you know, without looking, how many games ahead of the Giants the Cubs finished?
12?
13. I had kind of forgotten about it once the Cubs clinched, but on the team bus last night, I just thought, you know, I don't even know how many games the Giants won. The Cubs finished 13 games ahead of the Giants, and remember, in early August, they were behind the Giants going into that four-game sweep. So these last 2 months have been pretty remarkable, and if anybody out there predicted 97 wins, I'd be more than shocked.
I think that's a record, is it not? I saw the stats the other day about three teams in the same division, the amount of games won in a season. It's happened some times, but I don't think ever to that total.
The 77 AL East, I believe, Terry, the top three teams had at least 97. So the second and third, I want to say Boston and Baltimore, we're 97. So this is pretty unprecedented, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know if MLB is going to change the wild card round to best two of three. I do think for television reasons, for drama, for excitement, if you're not playing in this game, I kind of get it. Like I'm in. It's got a Super Bowl feel. You bypass games 1 through 6. You go right to game 7. And if you win tomorrow, you like the format. But if you lose it, I do think you feel cheated. And even no matter what happens, it's going to be a very successful year for both these teams. But the team that does not win understands that it has a legitimate chance to win the World Series, and you might find yourself going home.
Joe Maddon was asked today by Spiegel and Goff about his lineup. He says he knows it. He knows what he's going to do. He's not going to reveal anything for whatever that's worth, because there's no reason to let anybody know before he has to. He's channeling his inner John Fox. But let's say you are Joe Maddon. Now, what's your ideal lineup?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with the morning guys and, you know, just throwing out some options. I think he's got a defensive option and an offensive option. And there are a lot of things at play here. Number one, you've seen Gerrit Cole a lot. The Cubs have faced him, I think, 4 times this year. How about this note? For all the talk about Jake Arrieta and his dominance against not only the Pirates but the rest of the league, the Cubs have a grand total of 1 extra base hit all year against Gerrit Cole. It's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was an opposite field double by Tommy La Stella in Cole's last start at Wrigley Field. So he does have a reverse split kind of thing going. He likes that high fastball, which is very tough to hit for lefties. So you could go with a more right-handed dominant lineup. But if you look late in the game, Tony Watson is a very tough lefty. And then Mark Melancon, you'd rather have righties against the cutter than lefties. So I do think Joe wants to have some right-handed bats available off his bench late. So if you do that, you might see a Coughlin or a La Stella in there. Where does Chris Bryant play? Do you put him at third and put Coughlin in the outfield with Schwarber? Do you start Chris Bryant in the outfield and give yourself an option of Baez or La Stella on the infield? The one prediction I made on Twitter today is that Chris Bryant will play multiple positions. He's very comfortable moving around, and I think, you know, Joe is going to manage it like he has all year. And if the Cubs have a lead in the 5th or 6th inning, I think he'll go, if he starts with an offensive lineup, I think he'll go offense to defense and play it out that way.
That's what I find fascinating about it, Len, is really when you fill out a lineup for one game, you can be. It matters if you are managing optimistically, or not necessarily pessimistically, but protectively.
Right.
Because there's one mentality. I've seen neither one is right or wrong, but one mentality would be: you know what? We're going to get the lead in this game, and I want to make sure that we're going to get that lead, and then we're going to protect it, and we're going to have our pitchers lined up and our defense set up. Another manager might say, I've got to make sure whatever happens, it doesn't get away from us. I've got to do this conservatively to know that, let's say we're down 4-0, then what? How can we maximize every possible avenue to victory? So those would be different constructions, and then a different deployment of whatever resources you allot.
Yeah, I agree, and I do think, you know, it's very trite to sit here and go, well, if the Cubs can get ahead early, right, that'll be one of the keys to the game on TBS tomorrow. You can count on it. But think about it. You've got 48,000 people waving towels. It's going to be just an incredible atmosphere. And the Cubs score 2 on Gerrit Cole before Jake Arrieta touches the ball. I mean, doesn't that feel like game over, even though we know
it's
not? So in that regard, I think Joe will look in the first inning, especially, you know, 1 through 5, man, I'm going to optimize that lineup as much as I can. And so if you want to kind of get that lead early and you don't need a ton of runs, get your 2 or 3 and then go defense. I think he really trusts Javier Baez late, so I would not be – let's put it this way. I would be more surprised if Baez does not play in some capacity. Not saying he's going to start, but I do think, you know, if the Cubs have a lead, he'll end the game playing an infield position. I think Starlin Castro's in the lineup. He's got good numbers against Cole, and I think he has earned the right to be in the lineup. And the other thing about Castro that I like, and I think Joe does too, is the one weakness this offense has is getting that guy in from third with less than 2 outs. And Castro is a contact hitter. Gerrit Cole's probably going to strike 8 to 10 guys out. And if you put Castro in the lineup, there's not as big a chance that he's going to strike out in a big spot.
You know, I was going to have you, when you talk to Neil Huntington, I mean, another guy that really, you know, after years of nothingness, kind of really a franchise going nowhere, Len, that he's really done a great job, too. We know what Theo has done, and we know what the Cubs have done, but they've done a terrific job, too. I mean, that is a team that's going to be around for a while, too. They already have been.
Well, I'm in a bubble here, so, you know, when I say stuff like this, I need you guys to keep me honest, but one could argue that the two best teams in baseball are going to be playing tomorrow night. Now, the Blue Jays or the Royals might have something to say about that. But
with you.
Based on the fact that since May 9th, the Pirates have the best record in all of baseball, the Cubs come in with the best road record in all of baseball, with possibly the best starting pitcher in all of baseball, it's a wild card matchup that we have not seen and we may not see for a long time with two teams of this caliber.
Keep getting back to the slide that took out Jung Ho Gung and how important that guy's been. And I didn't check wins above replacement right now, but I think he's around a three-win player. And when you're talking about a two-way guy, a guy who's done a more than credible job as a defensive shortstop and a guy who's been a better-than-expected stick for them, a great find for them, what it means to not have him for this game and just the fact that it happened to be the Cubs that ended up injuring him. I'm not going to talk about intent or anything like that, but it's one of those things where Pittsburgh fans, you could understand some grumbling if that were to be the case.
Absolutely. I do think he had a really good year as a very high-caliber player both ways, as you said, defensively and offensively. The only disclaimer here is I think the Pirates have as much depth as the Cubs and may have more positional depth than any team in the playoffs right now. I go back to the doubleheader. These two teams played a couple of weeks ago here in Pittsburgh, and Andrew McCutchen was the only guy who started in both games, and they were big games. So, you know, somebody's not going to start tomorrow night, and it might be Josh Harrison, who's arguably their hottest hitter right now, but he may get into the game later. I'm guessing it'll be Aramis Ramirez at third, and Pedro Alvarez, who hit a ball 900 feet on Sunday.
I saw it, yeah.
Probably starts at first, yeah. But the problem for the Pirates there is Alvarez is a way below average defensive player, so again, he could be a guy who gets his two or three at-bats, and if the Pirates have a lead, I would expect him to come out of the game and maybe see Sean Rodriguez take over at first.
Oh, yeah, Alvarez he can't field anything. It's just really, I think the whole thing with him has been a little disappointing. Even though I think with 27 homers led the team, I just think he's been one of those guys, and in a season really where not much has been disappointing for them, he's been started disappointing with a lot of stuff.
Well, he was a number two overall pick, second pick in the draft. He's been a high strikeout, high power guy. The weird thing, Terry, is that his defensive problems at third were more throwing, and his problems at first have been more fielding.
Yep,
so
fielding it.
The Pirates had been one of the elite defensive clubs the last 2 years. They have not been. They've been below average this year. So as we know, a big error can make a big difference. And that's the other thing, going back to your question, Dan, about Gung. Mercer at short is probably a little bit better defensively. He's not the offensive player that Gung is, but they'll feel pretty good about their defense up the middle with him at short.
What do you think it means that the Cubs led the league in strikeout percentage, that Chris Bryant, who's going to be a unanimous NL Rookie of the Year, set the record for strikeouts by a rookie with 199. We've talked at length in general about what is happening with the strikeout in Major League Baseball, but to have a team that is this good, and the Astros, I think, are up on some of those lists as well, that it's now at the point where I guess as long as it's counterbalanced by enough walks, it really just doesn't matter if that happens to be the way a good team makes its outs. Correct?
Well, there's the yin and the yang. There's always each side of the equation in baseball. And as much as we love this team to lead the league in walks and to strike out the fewest amount of times, if you're lamenting the swing and the miss, you have to at least acknowledge that in order to have a patient team, the Cubs led the majors. They were better than the Red Sox and Yankees in pitches per plate appearance. You are going to strike out. It's probably easier to teach hitters to strike out a little less than it is to walk more. And one example would be Anthony Rizzo. His strikeout rate has gone down. Aramis Ramirez is another example of a power hitter who doesn't strike out a lot. And, you know, Mike Trout, maybe the elite of the elite, they're going to walk a lot. They may not strike out a ton. But most guys who walk 80 to 100 times are going to strike out probably 130 to 180 times. But as long as Chris Bryant keeps that ratio near average or a little bit better, you can definitely live with it. And that's the type of team they've built. I expect them to continue to strike out a lot. The Cubs finished, I think, three walks away from leading the majors in walks for the first time since 1929. So, you know, it's taken 4 years, but this really has become a Theo Epstein-type offense, and it's not the 03-04 Red Sox necessarily, but it's built more in that mold than any Cub team we've seen since 2008. And I've got another note for you guys.
Yep.
That great run the Red Sox had, about a six-year run, that included two World Series championships, or three, I should say, right? No, two.
Two.
The 04 and 07 teams. The most wins the Red Sox had in a regular season, do you know what it is?
94?
98. So the Cubs this year won 97 games. You think of the Red Sox as almost a dynasty during that era. The Cubs almost matched their win total. Think about that for
a second.
In
this division with an unbalanced schedule.
Yes. I mean, you talk about ahead of schedule. They could win the division next year, guys, and win fewer games than they did this year. Isn't that crazy to even contemplate?
Yeah, I don't know how predictive it is.